Welcome to the Tech Webcast podcast, episode 407, recorded on the 10th of December, 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the iPhone or Android Tech Webcast app. You can also support us at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl. And today we're going to be talking about drones.
Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon. Daryl, how are you, mate?
I'm good, 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 good. It's on a fine, sunny Mansfield afternoon here, although the breeze, the wind's blowing outside. It seems to be sort of a blowy month here at the moment. But, yeah, no, it's good. Yep. I'm good.
Stuff, mate. Good stuff. You're away last week.
Well, it was Mum's birthday, so we went out to a nice little Thai restaurant here in town and nice. Had lunch and very, very sort of relaxing afternoon. So really happy about that. And Mum enjoyed her meal and that. So, but yeah, I miss being on the show. So, but it was another good show.
Right. Okay. Did you hear last week's episode?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it all because I've just had one of those busy weeks this week. But I'm sure it was another excellent production.
Yeah, it was. It was a good production. Yes, indeed. We had Matt from Oz Vinyl Junkie on last week.
Ah, okay, cool.
So, great conversation with him. So check it out.
So all things vinyl, and on your Facebook, I noticed you've been posting and saying that you're considering doing a vinyl podcast sometime next year.
Yes,
you're in the process of sort of thinking about it, and
I am.
Yeah, so excellent.
So I am in the process of I'm thinking about doing one, and I just need a name really for it.
Yeah. So anyone out there that's got a name that you think for a vinyl podcast that'd be catchy, you know, fire it in.
Yeah, please do. And also thanks to Jamie from JJ Vinyl. He's giving away a $50 voucher to a Tech Webcast listener. So
excellent.
If you want to win a $50 voucher, and you're into vinyl and stuff, so let us know on Twitter or on the Facebook page.
Excellent. So, yeah, $50, you get a good piece of vinyl for $50. So, So excellent. That you might be if you're wanting to get back into it, you might be sort of wanting to start your vinyl collection, or if you're like me and had an old vinyl collection, you might want to start it back up again.
So, yeah, so if you're a listener of the podcast, just send us a tweet or a how do you reckon they should win?
Yeah, either a tweet or if you like the Tech Webcast page at facebook.com/techwebcast and make a comment underneath maybe when we've uploaded this particular episode. Well, if you're listening to it now, we've already uploaded it in the future. Make a comment underneath too and say, hey, you know, I'd like to win the $50 voucher.
Yep. And you must be in Australia too to win, so yeah.
Yeah, so if you're so Australian. Australian.
Yep. Australia, mate.
I'm Australia, mate.
Yep. Jacob Jones, a superstar's on.
Oh yes. We heard about that. Branching out into the media.
Yeah. So Jacob, how's your week been, mate? And you're famous now?
Oh, I'm Famous Amos.
Yes, you are. So tell us about it. What happened and how'd you go?
Oh, it went pretty well. I talked a lot about podcasting and why you should stay podcasting.
Yep.
I used a few examples.
You like what?
A few examples, like David DeFranco.
Oh, shit, don't mention him.
All he did was just stop at cold turkey.
Oh, this is all you, Jacob. I don't want people coming complaining about this, but they can complain to you. They'll come to you. Go ahead.
So basically, he stopped doing his podcast. So it has a lot. That's like cutting off all of his fans from all the info in the world. Like this podcast, we never stop.
Oh, no, this podcast would never stop. This has been around for years now. People love it. And
like I said on the show, you'll never lose if you don't quit.
Yep. It's sometimes with podcasting, it depends, I guess, on whether you run out of steam eventually or if it's a particular topic. Like I followed a podcast for years. It was on the Roman history of Rome, you know, ancient Rome, and it was the ancient Rome history podcast. And in the end, he had to stop because he ran out of material because he went through the whole history of ancient Rome over several years. And so he said, well, this is it. You know, the Roman Empire has fallen, you know. So I think he was going to go on to do other things. But you're right. I mean, it is hard when you get it. If you're a very successful podcast and you get a huge base of fans and then all of a sudden if you say, I'm not going to do it anymore for whatever reason, yeah, your fans get disappointed.
The thing is, though, you know, Jacob mentioned David DeFranco. You know, the thing is, though, my question to you, Jacob, is why did you make him an example?
Well, because he was doing this podcast and he only did, like, would you say, like 10 episodes?
Well, something like that, yeah. He was putting out, I don't know what he was doing, but I think he was very new to podcasting. I don't think he didn't really know what he was doing, but what from what I heard, it sounded fantastic, and people were sending him in messages and stuff and questions and that sort of thing, and it was a great podcast, and I don't understand why he stopped. But you know, these things happen, and if you can't stick to it, you know, why do something, you know?
It must be also, you sort of got to know what his situation is, you know, his other work and life situations that may be that, like a lot of people, you think, well, wow, I'll start a podcast, this will be cool, this will be great, and then you find the preparation for it and doing it and everything means your other life, you know, things get put on hold and he might have family and other commitments.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to say, okay, I would have liked to have kept going, but it just doesn't fit what I'm doing. So, but, you know, yeah, so it does. And so when you look at something like Tech Webcast with, you know, over 400 episodes, I mean, that in itself, you know, the longevity of a podcast like that, and as I say, like the Roman History podcast went for years, and it was a single topic. But I mean, that's the real strength is if you've got a podcast that lasts. But yeah, you feel it if you're a fan, when a band breaks up. Exactly. and all of a sudden they just say, well, we're not going to do it anymore. And the Beatles, you know, eventually broke up and they said, we're not going to do it anymore. And people sort of said, what? You know, it's like they love it. They love someone and they follow him all through, you know, whether it's podcasting or whatever, and then he decides to stop. Yeah, the fans do get, you know, disappointed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And what else, Jake, what else you want to mention about the interview you want to mention that you liked about him, mate?
Yeah, I was mentioning is talk about like how you should start and where you should start and where and getting a website and all that stuff.
Okay. All right. So did Audrey approach you for the interview, Jacob? Or how did that work, mate? How did you come across her?
Oh, this podcast.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying, did you ask her or did she approach you? I can't remember.
You actually brought it up, and I went with it, and I said, yeah, let's go.
Oh, did I? Okay, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because you got yourself set up, Daryl set up, Andrew set up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Are you going to be on her show, Daryl? Are you going to be on her show? Eh?
Oh, or maybe at some stage if I get around it. Yeah, I may. If she wants to talk to me, I'm quite happy to talk about whatever, any sort of topic she wants to talk about. Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah. I think it's good to sort of like cross-pollinate between different podcasts and stuff. And you sort of learn how other people do a podcast. And that's why I think also if you're interested in doing your own podcast, it's great to listen to a range of podcasts, you know, like whole different topics and genres and all that, so that you can then decide where you fit and what you want to do. Listen to technology podcasts like Tech Webcast, and then listen to history podcasts, and listen to, you know, all these different ones, and you get a whole idea of the different formats, you know, which is really good.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else, Jacob, before we move into the next topic?
You mean drones?
Well, yeah, before that, yeah. Anything else you want to mention before that?
Just keep going with what you're going with.
Exactly.
Line up and don't stop.
Exactly.
Just don't throw it in the gutter.
No, don't do that. So we all got drones a few. How long ago have we had these for?
Oh, a few months now, a couple of months now at least, I guess. It sort of time flies, you know. Like I get, and as you get older like me, the weeks seem to go even quicker. So, yeah, we've had them for a while now, and I think you and Jacob have flown yours a bit more than I have, yeah. Because I've had sort of a lot of wind here and to get outside, and the last thing I want to do when I'm trying to learn how to actually, because I'm like, you know, I haven't flown one before, is fly it in windy conditions and have it sort of, you know, crash somewhere or land on the roof somewhere. So they're great little devices. They're great little drones, and reasonably easy to put together. To put them together. They've got little screws, so just be on a spot where, you know, you don't lose the screws, roll on the floor.
But I found the screws very hard to put in, very small to.
Yeah, they were tiny, and thankfully you advised me of that because of my poor eyesight, you advised me before I went, and so I made doubly sure, you know, I was in a location where you can, you know, like a clear table, and I had a little container where I put the screws in so they wouldn't, you know, roll on the floor and get lost.
Yep.
But yeah, they were tiny screws, but once you got it all, you know, put together, it's basically a matter of, you know, if you've never flown one before, you know, learning how to fly them and maybe taking them to an area where you've got no houses, no, you know, trees around where you can sort of, you know, wrap around a tree where you can just practice, you know, taking off and landing and taking off and landing, and then you gradually get used to them. But no, they're great, and I've got, you know, lovely little video cameras on them, so you can, you know, record those shots. So if you think of it, it's like the ultimate selfie. Once you get used to flying it, you can sort of film yourself or your friends or anything from very different angles from the normal, you know, selfie stick or just having your hand out with the camera with your phone. So plus other lots of other things you can video as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. So how did you, when you set yours up, Daryl, how did you find the first time use of handling the controls?
I think, yeah, it's hard when you've not used any other drone to compare controls and say, well, these controls were easier on this drone than they were to on other drones. But it's like learning to drive a car. You know, when you first learn to drive a car and everyone's telling you, put your foot on the clutch and change the gear, and you always bunny hop because you put your foot too hard on the clutch, and no one can actually tell you how to do it properly. You've just got to get the feel of it yourself, and then you get the feel of changing the gear, and after a while you think, oh, well, that's not too bad. And I think it's the same with the drone. You know, you have to sort of get used to, and you're doing things in three dimensions, so you're sort of, you know, you're flying them, you're not just going, you know, along a two-dimensional plane like if you've got a, you know, remote control racing car, you're just racing along the ground. Here you're going up and down and sideways, and so yeah, it does take a little bit of practice. But I mean, I think that's half the fun of it too, is that, you know, you get out into a park or some area of land where you've, you know, you're away from buildings and various other things, and do it on a still day, and you can have all sorts of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what about you, Jacob? For me personally, I found it really fun to use, but the control, it takes some time to get to know the controls and how it all works, this sort of thing. The battery life, I wasn't too happy about, to be honest. 6 minutes is not really that long.
No, you really have to charge two batteries up and sort of have your...
This is the problem though, Daryl. With mine, I don't know if it's on yours as well or Jake's, but the battery that you can't... There's one battery already in the drone, but you can't get that out. But I think you have to charge that.
Yes. So,
that, you know what I mean?
Yep. So, I mean, because it's, you know, it's driving, you know, the rotors and everything. So, yes, it is going to sort of, you know, there is going to sort of chew up your battery. So, if you've got, you know, you could, I guess, you know, I don't know whether you could plug in, you know, some of those battery packs and bring one on with you and just plug it in once you've done your 6 or 7 minutes flying, just plug it in, let it charge again, and then do it again. But I can't compare it with, because I haven't used comparable drones of that size. And I think, you, to be fair, you've got to use drones of that similar size. Exactly. It's no point having a huge drone that's got massive batteries in it. And then they say, yes, ours goes for an hour. That's sort of like apples and oranges. So you sort of have to use comparable size drones. And I'm presuming that, you know, you've got you've got all these rotors going, and then if you've got your video camera taking shots, that, yes, it is going to chew up battery fairly quickly, and you're going to have to recharge it up very quickly.
Yeah, definitely. But for the price, to be honest, for like $100, you get everything you need it. You get the SSD card, you get the USB stick, two batteries. Yep.
And you get everything to set it all up and going. And I mean, I think this, and I think probably Swan, who make the drone, it's one of those like intro type things. You know, you can get into drones, and you're not paying a big price. If you like drones and you think, wow, this is fantastic, you can then maybe look at, you know, when your budgets prevail, getting a bigger drone or something like that. If, on the other hand, you fly it and think, nah, it's not really for me, you haven't wasted a large amount of money just to be disappointed. Exactly. I think that's it. So it's like an introductory, but it's still very good. A lot of the drones that price would probably not come with a camera or anything. I mean, coming with a camera and all that, and that price, and even if, you know, 6 or 7 minutes doesn't sound like a lot of flying time, it still gives you plenty of time to play. And if you then decide I'm really into drones, or the kids say they're really into drones, then you can, you know, they've got a, I know Swan have got much bigger drones and stuff that you can upscale to if you want to.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I thought, because when I seen, I didn't know it came with an SSD card, but I think I said to Jake, well, I didn't need to go out and buy an SSD card or something. Jake, is that correct? Is that what I said? Or something?
An adapter.
And that comes in included. So that's fantastic.
So, I mean, you're not buying something, and you know how we've all done that. You buy something, I want to use it, and then you think, it doesn't come with this cable, or no, it doesn't come. So you've got to run down to the hardware store or wherever and pick up something else. With this particular one, out of the box, once you've screwed the screws in and everything, and you've charged your battery's charged, you can fly it. There's no, and you, and you've got all the functions. You don't have to then go and buy an SD card. You don't have to go and buy an adapter. So I like that, because I hate buying things and then finding in the fine print later. Because me living in the bush often means that these things are not, these options are not sold, and so I've then got to go and order something, and that's several days or weeks later, and so that really, that's one way to frustrate me. So that, it's good that it's all in the one package.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you, Jake? What's your view on the drone and that sort of thing?
Fun, easy to use.
Yep.
And I put those screws in about 5 minutes.
Good stuff. Who would you recommend this drone for, do you reckon?
Kids.
Yep.
If they have their like if they have disabilities, sometimes like autism, it'll take their mind off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jacob. Yeah, and you can, you know, you can get, yeah, if it's younger children, you can get your parents to put the screws in if it's a bit sort of fine for, but yeah, it's great. I mean, for children, because it's not a high price point, and so you're not having to worry, even if you crash it, which, you know, it's not like you've lost, you know, because some drones are like are literally thousands of dollars, and so this is a good price point if you want to get an introduction to drones.
And also, if you know, if some of the things break off, you got replacement parts in the bag there, in the box and stuff.
Yes, again, that's another thing. You know, you're not going, oh my god, I broke the first flight and I've broken something, and what am I going to do? Do I have to contact Swan? Do I have to go on a website and try and get a replacement part? Particularly over if you're thinking of something like this for Christmas, there's nothing worse than Christmas Day. The kids on put it together. Yeah. You go and fly it, and you break the first flight and the kids are, you know, devastated, but at least you've got some parts there that you can replace on the fly, literally, no pun intended, and you're up and flying again, which is great.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. I agree. I recommend this drone to anyone, kids or anyone that wants to try it out. It's a really great size.
Yep.
Looks fantastic.
And yeah, it is. It's not too big that it's going to be unwieldy, you know, if you want to put it together and then walk up to your local park. You're not sort of having to get three or four people to carry it, or you know, you can just take it up there, go for a fly, bring it back. As I say, I'd have to look again at the charging side of it, whether you can actually just, you know, like you've got some of those chargers for phones you can carry in your pocket, and if your phone dies, you can just plug it in. Whether you can do that and just zip, you know, a charge quickly into it to give it another 7 or 8. You know, minutes of flight. But yeah, I mean, that would be, as I say, but I don't know what the comparable thing for that is.
I think for the charger, I think it uses a USB, it plugs into your computer.
Yeah. So if you did see some of those, like, you know, those chargers you get for mobile phones, you can buy them at the train stations and that you just plug your mobile phone in and it gives you an extra boost of so many hours. Yep. You may be able to grab one of those. And
actually, I've actually got one in my backpack.
It would be good to try it out.
I've actually got one because so what sort of connection would I need? So I just need a connection for the USB port, right?
Yeah, and if you try one of those and just, you know, plug it in and see if the battery will take the charge off that, if that works, then just have and they're very cheap to get if you haven't got one, you know, and just get one of those and just carry it in your pocket, and you'll get an extra charge. So, you know, you'll get an extra charge or two, or maybe more out of it, depending on how much that's also an alternative. If you know, think, you know, 6 minutes is not, you know, which you know, 6 minutes isn't a long time, but if you've got that sort of charging option, and it might be something, you know, for Swan to look at some stage later on to offer an optional extra charger that you can just charge up at home beforehand and put it in your pocket and take it with the drone if you're taking it outside somewhere, and it gives you a couple of extra additional charges.
All right, good stuff, Dara. Good information from you. Jake, what else do you want to say before we wrap up the drone conversation? The
drone.
I actually put it, I charged from my battery pack.
Well, there you go.
So it does work then?
Oh, yeah, mine. I have a Rab Power.
Yep.
Okay. And
I have it in slow mode, but if I want to, I can have it charged in 10 minutes.
Well, that's pretty good. So you have your 6 minutes or 7 minute flight, takes 10 minutes to recharge, and you're off and going again.
So
there's always those ways around it, but no, I personally think it's a great little drone. I think it's great for children. It's great if you're on a budget and you're really unsure about whether drones are for you. You're not spending the earth buying something that you might think, oh, I don't really want it, you know, I didn't really need it. I like it.
All right. So you can get them from swan.com.au?
That's right. Yep, swan.com.au.
What's the model of the drone, Daryl?
I have to look it up now. Raptor.
Raptor 720p video.
That's it.
Drone. And it's for $99 and 95 cents.
And I've got a full range. So if you are already into drones or you think you want something bigger, you look on their website, they have a full range of drones. And I think they're actually going to even add more drone, you know, particularly for commercial businesses, you know, for security and for other specialists, you know, where you might have a camera hanging off it, you know, like you've seen some of those really expensive drones but have a look at swan.com.au.
Good stuff, Darryl, good stuff. Now, during the week, I did not know this was going to happen, but it did happen. ABC has gone now HD, Darryl.
Yes, it's gone HD, and it's been very interesting because I'm up here at my parents' place, and my parents have got their, in their land room, their, you know, if you like, their big television. But when we went digital, Mum bought a much cheaper, smaller television for the kitchen. Just so we can sit and watch it, we're eating lunch or something like that. With these changeovers, and when earlier in the year, for those of us in the bush, because of the fighting between the regional networks and the commercial networks, we had quite a few changes. Half the channels now on the little television won't work because the little television doesn't support MPEG-4 format. And when the ABC, for example, went to high def, it also went to MPEG-4 format. And so when Mum switches on her television, goes to channel 20 here, which is the new ABC high def, she gets invalid file format. Comes up. She gets the audio but not the video. On the other television they've got in the bedroom, it actually had an option in the settings to activate MPEG-4, which I found and able to do that, and that's fine. And the big television they normally use is fine. It just had no problems. But the little cheap television in the kitchen didn't support it, and there's no way I can see that you can actually, unless there's some sort of software update you can get and plug it in and update it, there's no way to do it. But if you watch the ABC's ads for the new service, right down in the bottom corner with little asterisks, and you need to have really fine vision, it says MPEG-4 supported TVs only. People who have got a reasonable quality TV will have no problems. It's really only if you bought, back in the day, you bought a small one of the cheapies like this. Like this one's a PAL, not Panasonic, it's a PAL Sonic. So if you bought some of those, you might find that suddenly you're missing a few. You'll know because you might get the audio, but the video will just come up with something like invalid format, which means it can't pick up the MPEG-4 properly.
Oh, okay. Even if you have a set-top box.
The problem, I mean, you could get a set-top box to fix it, but the problem is some of these real televisions are so cheap that the set-top box is more expensive than the television. So if you're in a situation where it's an additional, it's probably just a matter of you just put up with it and then just trade it out and get yourself a it was mainly because sometimes you don't want a really large TV in a corner somewhere, like in a kitchen. You don't want, you know, a 50-inch or some sort of big. And sometimes only the cheapies come out with the small form factor. And so that was the issue with this. But it was interesting. But, yes, the ABC's gone. I mean, I'm not critical of the ABC. It's just the way it is. But, yes, the ABC's gone HD.
Yes, indeed it has. But that's about time they've gone HD.
So well, when you think – when you think
– I think nearly every Freeview channel is nearly HD. Is that correct?
Yep. It's getting close, I think. Yeah. Well, sort of. It was funny because when all the digital come out and ABC had, you know, News 24, that they put News 24 digital, like high def, sorry, and the AB, the main ABC channel was standard def. I don't know why they, because News 24 is basically just 24-hour news network. It doesn't.
Yep.
And so, but now that what they've done is, of course, their main channel has gone HD or is going HD, and News 24 is going back to standard definition.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're swapping. Yeah. So News 24 is going back to standard def, and their main channel will be HD.
Okay. Interesting. Jacob, do you have an opinion on all this, or you don't care?
I can say.
Go ahead.
Well, it's pretty good. How long have you been waiting for the HD to fly through that channel?
To be honest, mate, I really couldn't care. I don't really care actually about it. Well, I do care about HD, ABC HD, but I don't really watch much ABC. I do a little bit, but I mainly watch Foxtel stuff.
It still comes back to the networks broadcasting actual HD quality programming too. I mean, you can have a HD channel, but if the programs on it are not HD, like, you know, older programs or things like that, then you know you're not getting that much of a benefit. In my opinion, you're not getting that much of a benefit. But yeah, hopefully that's the start now of. But I mean, as I said to someone the other day, I mean, it's ironic that Australian networks are only now really rolling out proper HD, and yet 4K is in the winds in the rest of the world. And it just we're just really slow in a lot of cases on the uptake of things. And you know, like the AFL football, how long did it take for the Seven Network to finally roll out, you know, HD on its football channel? And you would think sport would be the first thing that would go on to HD, would be your big sporting events, but it's taken a long time. And even I think it's only been really this year that Nine has had the cricket in HD, or close to. So it's not very long ago. And yet, how long ago were we all forced to buy, you know, HD TVs because they switched off the analog signal?
Exactly. Yep. All good points there, Darryl. Good point. Now, also, I want to mention, I'm not sure if you know, or you probably don't really, you can't get it over where you are. The channel, the community channel here in Melbourne is closing down.
Yeah, 31. Yeah, you posted a thing on Facebook about it, and then I shared it out, and I read the article, and that's really sad.
It is very sad.
When you see the list, and you want to read that article, when you see the list of performers who started off on Channel 31, you know, getting their. You know, understanding of what the medium was like, and learning about, you know, TV, and people like Rove McManus is just one name that comes off the top of my head. They all started off on Channel 31, a bit like, you know, a radio announcer sometimes start off on community radio and then get picked up by a radio station. And it's just tragic that, I mean, there's no need for them to the government to have, you know, said, oh, we're going to sell off that spectrum, and Channel 31's no good, it's, you know, it's poor quality, blah blah blah, they don't really need it. I just think it's so short-sighted, and I think it's so unfair, because it was a great way for, if you were a young person thinking, I want to get into the media, how do I, you know, I just can't walk into Channel 9 and say I want a job or I want this, you could get a chance at something like Channel 31, and then you've got yourself a resume to be able to go to larger networks and perhaps get picked up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is a shame, but you know, on the flip side, they've gone online now. You can actually watch the live channel online now.
That's certainly good. I mean, that's certainly good, and hopefully, you know, once things like the NBN finally, you know, rolls out everywhere, and we've all got much better internet coverage, that'll help. But yeah, it was sort of, I think sometimes it's sort of short-sighted. It's like, you know, I mean we haven't got 31 here because we're too far away, but we've got our own community radio station here, and it would be the same if the government decided, well, we're going to close down community radio. I mean, that would be tragic, because it's not, you know, people learn how to use, you know, the technology, and it also it produces local content that you don't get, you know, particularly in the bush. I mean, if you're in the city, you're getting, you know, city news and things like that. You're in the bush at times, you get no localized content. You know, for us here, you know, most of our, if you call it local news, comes from Shepparton, you know, and what's happening in Shepparton, and all the ads are coming from Shepparton, and it means nothing to me. In most cases, it means nothing to me. So a community radio where they're talking about really local issues, you know, what's happening in the local football club here, or they're playing, and it's, yeah, they're important for country people too.
Yeah, definitely. So good luck to Channel 31. I hope they're doing great. I hope they're going to do good things next year.
And if you can get it on the internet, go and take a look. And maybe I'll be able to get it on the internet. Now, go and take a look and give them some support and some love, and say, hey, definitely, we want you to keep going because you're a worthwhile service.
Yep, definitely. No, I love Channel 31. I watch it all the time, and great content shows and this sort of stuff. And it's also happening. The other channel, like South Australia as well, Darryl?
Because it's a federal government runs telecommunications, so when they want to, I mean, they basically want to free up the spectrum that these Channel 31 and equivalents interstate are using, and they want to sell the spectrum off maybe to, you know, to the telcos or whatever, and they think that, well, these services are fairly sort of, you know, they're not the same quality as commercial TV and all that. Well, of course they aren't, because they have a, you know, a fraction of the budget. You know, it's like an amateur theatre company and then comparing it to the Melbourne Theatre Company or something like that, professional. I mean, you're not going to have the budget, you're not going to have the equipment. And a lot of people there, they're all volunteers. And it's like community radio, it's the same thing. But I think you need to have those things as well as the big commercial networks.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, Channel 31, I'm going to miss that channel. And just real quick, they do have an iPhone, iPad app and a Apple TV app, so you can use that.
Yeah, look, I'll have to do that now. If they're on the internet, I should be able to pick it up here. Yeah, now. Definitely. I will definitely, because I certainly couldn't pick up channel, yeah, because we're too far away. But I'll definitely take a look at that, because and certainly support it. So if you were watching it on television in Melbourne or wherever you're able to watch it, grab the app and keep supporting them so they don't just disappear. You don't want them to completely disappear, even if they're no longer on terrestrial service. Support them on the internet.
Definitely. Now, my next question is, now this is to do with the community TV. Now, what about the Aurora channel on Foxtel, Darryl? Do you know much about that?
No, I don't know, because I don't get Foxtel, so I don't really know about...
I was just curious about that, because that's also a community channel as well, and I'm not sure how that works.
Well, probably because if it's on Fox, if it's on Foxtel, maybe it shares some of Foxtel's own spectrum. So maybe sort of Foxtel. Whereas 31 and that had its own, it's like community radio, it had its own spectrum, which obviously got off the government, or the government, you know, years ago said, yes, you can use this. But they had no control, like they didn't own that spectrum. So maybe Aurora, you know, under the Foxtel banner, Foxtel may have said to them, well, yes, you can have this spectrum or you can use this. And you know, so as long as, I guess, Foxtel's happy with them and doesn't decide they want to use it themselves, then they should continue on, I would presume.
Yeah. No, I think they're pretty safe at the Aurora channel, but... And that's just part of Foxtel deal,
I mean, it would be great if one of the, you know, if one of the commercial networks said to Channel 31, you know, have a lend to something. Because you look at the spectrum at them, you look at the commercial networks at the moment, and there's a number of those additional digital channels not being used for anything. You just get a screen saying, you know, upcoming. Because I think one of their networks had one of those, you know, shopping channels that went bust.
Oh yeah,
and it's just been sitting there, you know, with this sign, you know, that not being used. It would be nice. They won't do it because they'll say the cost and all that sort of stuff. But it would have been great if one of the commercial networks said, well, we've got some spare, you know, capacity here. Why not do something good for the community and put, you know, a channel like Channel 31 on there? But of course, pigs fly. But I mean, it would be nice. And the ABC don't have the money to do that. The ABC would be the perfect fit as well, but they just don't have the money to expand anything more. I mean, they're struggling at the moment. You look at their television programs, and you look at the amount of repeats at certain times on the ABC, and I think 90% of that is because their budget has been cut back over the last few years so much. They got all these gaps in there. Scheduling, and they just have to fill them up with, you know, endless repeats of shows, and so which is really sad, because the ABC, whether you're a big fan of the ABC, it's a necessary service, and it's sort of finding it hard now with government cutbacks.
Yeah, exactly. I also made the suggestion to Liz Rossman when she was on the podcast that Channel 31 should go on to the Freeview app on the streaming app. On the streaming up for their Freeview app, which would be fantastic.
It would be a great promotion for Channel 31, and particularly for those of us in regional areas that have never had it, never been able to see it on TV. And a lot of people would, you know, if I went down the street here and said, oh, you know, Channel 31, people would go, what, never heard of it. So to have it on the Freeview app, or to have the access to it on the Freeview app, would be great, because it would then give them a boost as they swing over to their internet service.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so the end of the month, I think they shut down.
I think you're right. I think the end of this year they shut, because it goes into the new year. And I don't think even if you went out and protested now, I don't think it's going to be changed, unfortunately, unless you made a mass protest and that. But I think they've just decided that they want the spectrum for other things. And unfortunately, these community channels don't have the political clout to be able to fight government over. They don't have someone in their corner that can fight for them to keep them afloat, which is sad.
But anyway, it's a shame. It's a shame. But anyway, these things happen. You can't, you know, it's a shame anyway.
But anyway, if you're really angry about it, even though it might not change at the moment, you know, contact your local politician and let them know of your anger at 31 being axed. Even if it won't stop the axing, let the politicians know that you're not happy with the way it happened. And when the election comes up, you might vote a different way. Keep them honest. That's what I say.
Yep. Jacob, what about you? What's your view on all this, mate?
I can watch it on the online as well.
Okay, awesome. Yep. So this is what I think. This is what I like about things online now, you know, versus watching on TV. So Jacob can watch Channel 31. He can listen to PBS FM in Melbourne here.
Yep.
And people in America have access to.
Well, that's right. As long as it's not geo-locked, like, you know, and that's because of program licensing, you know, and you'll find sometimes on the ABC iView where they'll say a particular program, they have unlocked the geo-locking because it's a program of, you know, very high importance, they consider it, and then it allows people like Jacob and of course my brother who lives in the States to be able to pick up on stuff like that. But I mean, the potential is that you could have anything streaming anywhere and anyone could watch anything, but we're still in a situation where there's program licensing. So the ABC, for example, get the license for Doctor Who to show it in Australia, but that says only to show it in Australia. So they can't then switch off geo-locking and then Jacob could jump on and watch Doctor Who through the ABC site here because of licensing restrictions. But yeah, having at least something like community radio where they don't or community TV where they don't have that sort of restriction, yeah, you can broadcast across the net, and that's the power of the internet.
I think it is, yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. With the $50 JJ voucher, if you want to win that, just leave a comment or leave a good comment what you like about the podcast.
Yeah, as soon as it's uploaded, if you're listening to it now, it's already uploaded. We're in the future. And remember, it's facebook.com/techwebcast. And if you put a comment in saying, why $50 voucher for vinyl you'd be really happy to have, and then I guess Brad, you will pick the winner.
Let's get you to pick the winner.
All right, I'll pick the winner then. I'll pick the winner. I'm scared.
So Daryl can pick the winner, the person who leaves the best comment about this episode.
Yeah, I can give you my email, my PayPal address if you want to slip me a couple of bucks on the side. No, I'm only joking, it's a $50 voucher. So yes, if you leave a comment but you have to at facebook.com/techwebcast. So you haven't liked our Facebook page yet, you can't win it, folks. So you've got to like the Facebook page.
So like it and then leave a comment. Simple as that.
Yep, and you could be winning a $50 vinyl voucher. And then if you comment after winning it to Brad about what are good records, what a good vinyl to get, Brad will no doubt be able to put you on to the right people.
Yeah, exactly. Jacob, any last words before we wrap up? Next week is our last show, Daryl, for 2016.
Yes, because, the year is galloping by.
Yep, and we'll return on January the 7th.
January the 7th. That's a good break. I mean, I know it's hard for those like Jacob and that outside of Australia thinking, oh, they're having such a big break. But here in Australia, it's, of course, summer holidays here, and a lot of people sort of, you know, between Christmas and New Year, vegetate and go away and do things. So it's hard to put podcasts together when people are not in podcast listening mode the summer. But yeah, and it gives you guys too, it gives you a break, and Jacob a break and all that, and then we'll be all geared up and ready to go in January.
Exactly. Now, what are you thinking of the next episode? Not next week, but the when we come back on January. I think we should maybe look at a new format. Maybe I don't know.
You can always just discuss what you want to do on a podcast and changes the format. And of course, for those people that are out there listening, again, you know, you're the listeners. If you
exactly.
If you've got any suggestions, again, while you're making that post about the $50 voucher, if you've got any suggestions about, you know, whether you love the current format, you don't want it to change, or you'd like to have this on the podcast or that on the podcast, then you know, by all means, you know, post some comments so that we can have a look at it over that break in the, you know, between Christmas and New Year, because yeah, it's your podcast too. You know, you're the people that listen to it, and if you know, if you love it the way it is, fantastic. Tell us you love it the way it is. If you think, hey, I'd really like, you know, like we were doing earlier in the year, you know, doing news stories. If you want news stories back, let us know.
Actually stopped that for some reason.
We were looking at sort of giving a bit more time to speak to guests, you know, like topic, because sometimes, you know, we'd get some really interesting news, and by the time we'd sort of chew through all the news and ask the guest about the news, then we sort of sometimes had to rush to get through the guest's information. Because as you say, you don't want the podcast to go on forever. But if you say, hey, you know, we miss the news, let us know, because, you know, we're broadcasting out to you all and we need your feedback.
Exactly. Jacob, what's your view on this topic before we wrap up the podcast, mate? Are you enjoying it? Been a good year for podcasting, do you reckon, mate?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who's your favourite guest been on so far? Should we mention this next week?
Next week.
Yeah, next week will be good. We'll have a sort of retrospective on the year and who's been on and what we think of podcasting in the future. As I say, and if in between that, when you listen to this podcast, if you're listening to it, of course, before next week, then comment, you know, and so we might be able to read out some of the comments on the podcast, you know, about what you'd like, any changes you'd like, what you thought of podcasting in general. You know, do you think podcasting's growing? Do you regularly listen to podcasts? What do you listen to? So jump on the Facebook page and just make those comments.
Exactly. Good point, Daryl. Next week we have a guest, but I can't remember her name. So we have a guest
It's the mystery guest.
Next week. So I have a guest on for the last show. That's going to be fantastic.
Excellent. Great.
It's going to be a blast of a show.
It's going to be a blast. We'll go out of 2016 with a bang.
A bang. That's correct. And you never know. I might even do the intro just as a one-off.
Oh, wahoo! This will be a rare collector's edition.
That people don't ever ask me. Why don't I do the intro? I don't know. I don't know why I don't do the intro.
Yeah, I guess it's never. Yeah, you know, I've never actually really asked you either why you don't. Do the, I mean, you know, it's always sort of people do what they like doing and so. Yeah,
exactly.
But this might be then. So if you're going to do the intro next week, this might be a collector's edition of Tech Webcast. One of those rare editions.
Because a few people have been asking me, why don't you read the intro out? And I said, I don't know, because I let other people do it, because I think I'm too busy looking at the other things and this sort of thing.
And you share the work. I mean, you share the workload. I mean, because you've got, you know, for people with podcasting, you know, who may only listen and don't know. I mean, you know, you've got guests and it's all being done usually, you know, through Skype or something like that. And then you've got to look at, you know, okay, we've got news to be read. We've got guests. Yep. Okay, everyone's got to have a chance to ask questions, particularly if we've got quite a few co-hosts on an episode. And then you've got to look at the clock to see, well, we don't want it to go, you know, 2 hours long, all those sorts of things. So I think if you divide up the job, if you like the jobs a little bit, it makes it easier on everybody. You know, not one person's having to do the whole lot.
Exactly. And I might even get a few people on next week too. Does it have a
If there are a few people around before Christmas break really gets underway, that some of the co-hosts and people will be on and say, hey, come on and let's just chew the fat over 2016.
Should be fantastic. It should be great fun. Hannah Silver maybe may come on.
We'll try and round up a few and make it a sort of a, if you like, a Tech Webcast Christmas party come
there you go.
Guest edition.
There you go. And also, shout out to Corey, too. He's a big, a legend, that guy.
He always, you know, supports Tech Webcast by promoting it everywhere on Instagram and Facebook and you name it. And that's a great thing, too. If you're out there and you think, how can I help Tech Webcast? Just, you know, if you see the podcast, if it's coming through your Facebook feed or something, give it a like. You know, exactly. Give it a share. And you might think, oh, that's not much, but it gets out to maybe several hundred more people in your Facebook community. It's a big help.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, definitely. All right, Daryl Hunt, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Missed it last week, even though I had a nice lunch and everything. I missed the show, missed you guys. So it's been a great show. I really enjoyed it.
Good to have you back on, Daryl. Where can they get hold of you, mate?
On Twitter at Learnscape. They can still get hold of me there. And I'm still on Google Plus, although I seem to be on there less and less these days. I sort of go and read things, but I don't post anywhere near as regularly as I used to. But I will try to get back and post a bit more stuff on Google Plus.
Are you on Snapchat? Do you use Snapchat at all, Daryl?
I've got Snapchat, but I've never really used it. I can't even remember what my Snapchat ID is. I think I've got a couple of cousins on Snapchat. I just struggle with the interface on Snapchat for some reason. I don't know. I just don't get my head around it. But maybe that'll be my Christmas New Year thing is to give Snapchat another go.
Yeah, I would. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Olden Tech Webcast. Jacob, what about you, mate?
This show always rocks.
It does indeed.
You can follow me at jazzbot32669 1Z.
Cool
as. All right, thanks guys, see you next week.
See you next week.
Last show for 2016. Can't wait.
Yeehaw.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!